If you would, take your Bible and turn to Psalm 119. We're going to pick up in verse 129. Continuing our walk through this wonderful psalm that declares the sufficiency, the greatness, the perfection of God's Word. It's written from the heart of one who is not just committed, but passionate about the Word of God. One who has experienced God's faithfulness to His Word. He has fallen in love with the Word of God. He has committed his life to obeying the Word of God, and he has seen God be faithful, but yet he still struggles, and he's still asking God to continue to grow him and continue to lead him, continue to provide for him, continue to demonstrate his loving kindness according to his Word. Man, if we could just live with that kind of passion, that's my heart, is I want to live with that kind of passion, that type of dependence upon God, that He will have to keep His Word, that I live by faith and I walk in such a way that I give God ample opportunity to do what He said He'd do and to demonstrate His faithfulness, to demonstrate His power and His love, to keep His Word to us. Well, the psalmist is writing, and again, if I were going to put a caption or a title to this section, it's that God's Word gives enlightenment. It enlightens man. And so he's looking to the Word of God for wisdom and understanding, but he wants to understand more and more. Rick and I were talking before the service tonight, and we were talking about reading the Bible, and as we read through it, man, we've read certain passages in certain parts of the Bible, and man, you just all of a sudden, man, I don't remember that being there, you know? I don't remember that part of this story. I don't remember that event. But God shows things as we read through His Word, the things that we need at the time, the things that we don't yet understand, He brings to the surface. He brings to the forefront. He brings us understanding. So I don't care how much you've read the Bible, keep reading it. Because it's in the reading of God's Word that we find light for life, that we find wisdom, that we find understanding, that we find truth. So if you would stand with me, we're going to begin in verse 129 and read down through 136, and then we'll parse it out a little bit and pray that God will give us this passion for His Word. Your testimonies are wonderful. Therefore, my soul observes them. The unfolding of your word is light. It gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide and panted, for I longed for your commandments. Turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. Establish my footsteps in your word, and do not let any iniquity be dominion over me. Redeem me from the oppression of man, that I may keep your precepts. Make your face shine upon your servant, and teach me your statutes. My eyes shed streams of water, because they do not keep your law. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to you tonight and just ask that you would give us this kind of passion, this kind of wonder for your word. God, that we would want to understand you and your word and your way and your heart more than anything else. God, we study and we spend time understanding the different things about life and the different things of jobs, and we prepare for tests and to get degrees, but Lord, the greatest need we have is to walk with you. The greatest need we have is to understand your word, because your word gives wisdom for all life. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds. God, you would speak to us, and Lord, you would be at work to draw our hearts to you. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. He begins with this section, or this section, with the phrase, "Your testimonies are wonderful." Now, what does it mean that something is wonderful? It can have a lot of different meanings. You go out to Colorado, to the Rocky Mountains, and you stand and you look at these great, beautiful scenes of the mountains and nature. Or you go down to the beach and you You enjoy the beauty of the beach and the beauty of the water. You stand in the forest sometimes when you're hunting and you just sit and you listen and you see the animals and you see God's nature. And sometimes it produces this sense of awe and amazement. That's what he's talking about here. Your testimonies are wonderful. If you're wondering, my daughter probably called from boot camp. We were hoping to get a call today. So I hope that's what it is. Good deal. I've been lost my train of thought now. I'm excited. The testimonies are wonderful. It's just like sitting and getting to FaceTime Ainsley when you hadn't seen her in a while. But his testimonies are wonderful. In other words, he is so passionate for them. They create in him a sense of awe and wonder, a sense of amazement. Man, there have been times in my life that God's Word has done that for me, where you sit and you read and God just reaches down through the expanse of the universe and he touches your soul through the words of Scripture. And it just produces such an awe and amazement of God loves me. God cares about me. God wants the best for me. In my foolishness and in my rebellion, in my ignorance, God loves me. And so the psalmist is writing, he says, look, your testimonies are wonderful. They're so perfect. They're so amazing. They're so unusual. They're so extraordinary that it peels back the universe. It peels back time. It peels back space. And we get just a glimpse of your glory through your word. And a lot of people love a lot of different types of literature. And it poetry, some people, it touches their soul. I can't hardly understand it. But it's amazing, and we get so emotional about different things that we read, but man, to hear the voice of God through his word, it's an amazing thing. And so the psalmist is writing of this great awe, this great amazement, this great passion he has because God has spoken to a sinful man, and it produces wonder and awe and amazement. So he says, your testimonies are wonderful. They're perfect. They're extraordinary. They provoke awe and amazement when I read them. Therefore, my soul observes them. Now, what does the soul represent? It's the inner man. You know, it's kind of like when Jesus was talking with Peter the night that he was going to be crucified. Peter, the spirit is willing. Flesh is weak. You know, we can, it our soul is committed, and he says, therefore my soul observes him. Sometimes my soul observes him, but the physical man doesn't do so well. You know, I love God's word, and I want to be obedient to it. I want to carry out everything that God says do and be obedient and be perfectly right and not mess up. And my soul wants that. The inner man desires that. But sometimes I have a hard time walking that out in life. And I think that's what the psalmist is saying. It says, my soul observes him. It begins on the inner man, and it works its way out. Now, sometimes it doesn't show up perfectly in the outer man, the physical man. But my soul loves him. My soul observes him. My soul cherishes them. When that word that it says, my soul observes them. Anytime you read the word observe, it's not just looking over or reading through. It's meditating on, it's looking at, it's focusing, it's intentional. This word observes means that you are trying to pick apart and understand every aspect of what you're reading. It's a passionate pursuit of God's Word. And it's more than just doing your daily Bible reading. It's the inner man hungering. It's the soul feeding on the Word of God. It says, my soul observes your word. My soul is focused on your word. My soul is hungry for your word. The inner man is passionate about your word. Therefore, I'm going to observe it. Man, if we can just let God develop that in us, and we can be so intent on that, Why would that be such a big deal? Because His Word's perfect. It's unusual. It's extraordinary. It's all provoking. Verse 30 says, "The unfolding of Your Word gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." He's talking about me there. It says, "The unfolding of Your words give light." Now, what does it mean, the unfolding of Your Word? Now, you younger kids probably don't understand this. All you know is Google Maps, okay? But there used to be a thing that was a paper map. It would fold up really small, about this long, about this wide. But when you went on a trip, you used a map. And you unfolded it, and it would unfold all the way across the car in the front seat. And so you would sit down with that map, and you would start where you are, and you'd figure out, okay, this is where I want to go, and you'd start highlighting or drawing along the, okay, I need to go up here, and I need to hit Highway 34, and I need to take a right, and okay, I'm going to go over here, and I'm going to look for Highway 55, and I'm going to, you know, and you did that all the way on a paper, and you unfolded it to find direction. You couldn't leave it folded up and it do any good. Sometimes we read, but we don't unfold God's Word. You know, we don't dig. We don't seek understanding. We don't seek direction. We don't look for application. And so what He's saying here is look, He says the unfolding of Your Word, the opening it up and looking for direction gives us light, gives us direction, gives us wisdom, gives us insight. But we can't do it by just a simple reading through to check off and say, okay, I read my Bible for today. We've got to dig in it. We've got to look for the nuggets that are there. We've got to parse the verse. We've got to look and say, God, what are You teaching here? What's the principle? Then, God, how do I apply that to my life? You've got to unfold God's Word for it to show us and to be wonderful and to give us direction and to give us light. But when we unfold it, when we unpack it, when we dig into it, it says it gives understanding to the simple. You know, God's Word's really not that difficult. It means what it says and says what it means. You know, the difficult part is we try to make it hard. You know, we try to make being a Christian something that's really difficult and something that's really ethereal but it's just reading and applying. It's seeking and following. That's all it is. But we try to make it something so hard. And so He says, look, you may not be able to do anything else in the world. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be some kind of guru. You don't have to be the smartest guy or gal on the block. You just unfold God's Word. It'll give you light. And then you can know how to live your life in a way that honors God. You can know how to live your life to get the most out of eternity. You'll know how to live your life to get the most out of the relationship with the Lord. Get everything that God wants for you, to experience all that He has for you. And you know, that's the most amazing thing that we could ever seek after. You know, I've kind of filtered my life down to one thing. God, I want to experience everything You've got for me, whatever that looks like. Because I know if God has it in His plan for me, whether it's comfortable, whether it's fun, whether it's hard, whether it's difficult, whether it's painful, I know that He works all things together for good of those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And He'll use all those, even the bad things can produce the glory of God in our life. So I don't want to miss out on anything God has for me. The problem is I often substitute what I want for what God desires. And then the pain that it produces, it isn't so fun anymore. God has to redeem even that, but He can. So He says, the unfolding of Your Word gives light, and it gives understanding to the simple. I opened my mouth wide, and I panted, for I longed for Your commandments. Now, He's describing how much He wants, how His desire, His need for the Word of God. It reminds me of Psalm 42:1, as the deer pants for water, so my soul longs after You, Lord. And that's what He's saying. He has developed such a passion, such a need, such a desire, such a dependence among God's Word that when he's separated from it, when he spends time away from it, his soul hurts. There's something missing. There's a lack in his life that is so profound. It can only be satisfied by communion with God through his word. Man, if I could ever get to that place. You know, too often I miss my daily Bible reading and I don't think about it for 2 or 3 days. You know, it's not because I couldn't. I just didn't make the time. But then there becomes this hungering and thirsting for the Lord when I've been away from him for a while. But I don't want it to be when I'm away from him. I want it to be every day. I want to have that hunger and thirst every day. And so the psalmist is describing his desire, his thirst, his hunger for the Lord. Why? Because his testimonies are so wonderful. It's so great, I don't want to miss it. It's so wonderful, I don't want to miss out on anything God has for me. Then he gives the request, turn to me and be gracious to me. He's requesting for divine mercy. He says, turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. So you've said those who love you, you'll turn your face toward, you'll be gracious towards those who seek after you. And he says, look, turn to me and be gracious to me like those in the past who've loved your name. Look favorably upon me because I am passionate about your word. Establish my footsteps in your word. Now the Lord direct my steps as I live out your word. Establish my steps in your word. Most of us want God to bless the path that we've chosen. He says, look, I want to be firmly established in your word. I want my life to be grounded in your word. I want to walk in your word. I want it to be the solid ground that I walk on in this shifting sand of a world. When there's a lot of gray area and there's decisions to be made, I can walk with confidence in your word. God, establish my steps in your word. And do not let any iniquity have dominion over me. Man, what a prayer. What a prayer. Because Paul tells us that we're to lay aside all of those things that so easily entangle us. But sometimes there's hidden traps. There's the devil's sneaky. And he says, God, don't let anything, don't let any iniquity, don't let any sin overtake me. Don't let me be put in bondage. God, and the only way that I cannot be placed in bondage is that I stay firmly established in your word. We've got so many Christians that are in bondage to so many things. That little sin here, that little sin there that they've kind of flirted with and they've excused, and now it's become something that they never expected would be. And they've gone into a place and it's grabbed them with addiction, or it's grabbed them with depression and all kinds of things that sin, guilt, and they're just chained up with this iniquity that has had dominion over their life. They love God, but they've wandered away from his word. They didn't stay focused. They didn't stay established in his word. And when we get outside the word of God, when our life is established on anything but it, we're setting ourselves up for failure and for bondage. He said, don't let any iniquity have dominion over me. God, protect me from that through your word, through the light of your word, through it being established in your word. Redeem me from the oppression of man that I may keep your precepts. Make your face to shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes. Man, his whole life, God, my troubles, I want you to redeem through your word. Don't let evil men have dominion over me. Don't let sin have dominion over me. God, let me walk in your ways. Make your face to shine upon me. Teach me your statutes. I want to be teachable till the day I die, basically is what this says. Give me wisdom and insight, discernment through your word. All of those things are available through God's word, through the relationship we have with God and the Holy Spirit. But if we don't feed on that word, if we don't hide that word in our heart, then it's very likely we're going to sin against God. That's why the psalmist said, Lord, I hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So iniquity won't have dominion over me. and so that men can't set traps, and you can show me these that are coming, the hidden things. But then verse 36, he's passionate about the Word. He loves the Word. He knows the value of the Word. He knows it gives wisdom and insight. But because he's so passionate about the Word of God, it breaks his heart for a world that rejects it. Look at what he says, that last part. And when we are in love with God and we're in love with his Word, it's going to break our heart. We're not going to get mad because sinners reject God's Word. We're not going to wash our hands of them because sinners reject God's Word, because the government's acting stupid and the people around us have rejected God's Word and living for themselves and living in sin and being destroyed by sin. It's going to break our heart because it breaks the heart of God. It says, my eyes shed streams of water, not just a little bit, not just a tear every once in a while, but just weeping profusely because they don't keep your law. He's brokenhearted because he knows what they're missing. Everything they say they want, wisdom, understanding, establishment of the way they live, success, joy, peace, love, all of those things that the whole world wants, they're looking for them in the wrong place. Their lives are being destroyed and their eternity is being forfeited because they're rejecting the Word of God, and it breaks his heart. I want to tell you, I'm as a parent, I'm beginning to understand, or have begun to understand, how my mom felt when I was a teenager, when my sister was a teenager, when my brother, and we were all three running from God. For a long time, we all three run from God. And the tears that my mom shed. And we do. We get brokenhearted when our children, we see them just running from God, not honoring God, not seeking God, and their life becomes a shamble. Even though they put on a good show and they feel like they're happy and they're successful on this stuff, but we know that they're never going to experience all God has, where they're going to miss out on so much. Because they're running from the Lord. They're rejecting the Lord. They're still wanting to do life their own way. And we get brokenhearted over that. But man, he's saying, not just my kids. We ought to be brokenhearted over the world like that. I'm just going to tell you, I was heavily convicted when I read this passage and God began to deal with me, because I'm just going to be honest, I've wept over family and I've wept over some of your family, but I haven't really wept over the wickedness of the world. The psalmist says, I know how wonderful God's Word is. I know the joy, the beauty, the perfection, the glory of God's Word. I know God's ways are right, and if people would just seek Him, their life, their relationships, their marriage, their family would be so different. They could avoid all this stuff that the world's going through and so many people are enslaved to and entangled in. If they would just seek God and submit to Him and love Him and let Him guide them, they could avoid all this bad stuff. But they don't know. They're just doing what they know. And their life's a mess. Sometimes it's those that do know. Their life's still a mess. I want to be a pastor who weeps over the lost. I want us to be a church that weeps over the lost. And not just weeps over them, but chases after them. Because we know the beauty and the wonder of God and His Word. Let's ask God to give us a heart like that. All right? Let's stand.